Rick, the 2014 legislative session officially got underway this week. Let's start with Governor Rick Scott's proposed budget of $74.2 billion. What does that amount say about the overall or the general health of the economy here in Florida?
The first thing it says is that Florida is a big state. We've got over 19 million residents of Florida now. This is going to be the year 2014 that we overtake New York as the third most populous state in the union. And so $74.2 billion is a big number, but when you look at it on a per capita basis, it's almost exactly half the spending per resident that New York State does, for example, a state of a similar population, but with a budget that's about twice as big as Florida. So it's a whopping big number, but on a per capita basis, it's smaller than, in fact, all other states in the union. We're right there at the bottom, according to the December 2013 Department of Management Services report. We're at the very bottom in terms of spending per resident. And of course, it's much smaller than federal spending per resident as well. In the federal budget, we're about to see a almost $4 trillion budget be submitted by the president to Congress. And of course, just as is the case in the state, that budget that the chief executive submits is just a suggestion. And then the Florida legislature, the U.S. Congress, end up doing what they will, and then sending that budget, we'll send our budget to Governor Scott to be signed. And he, of course, has line item veto authority in that budget.
Well, Rick, just briefly, what does it say about the trend in Florida if you just look at previous budgets in, say, the last few years?
The trend in terms of an inflation-adjusted spending figure is that budgets in Florida have still not recovered to support the level of government services that was in place before the recession. So on an inflation-adjusted per capita basis, the budget is still lower than it was 8 years ago. And so that means that some of the things that we would like to see in terms of the ability to give students a good education, they still face challenges, although, of course, the legislature is actively involved in trying to get the biggest bang for the buck in terms of scarce taxpayer resources. We'd like to get the best education, the best Medicaid, the best courts and criminal justice that we can with the taxpayer dollar.
Now, one aspect of the governor's budget, and it looks like he has support from the House and Senate leadership, and that's a plan to cut over $500 million in taxes. And I guess that's mostly in a rollback in auto registration fees.
It is. The Revenue Estimating Conference met and determined that the value of that tax cut in terms of automobiles on an ongoing basis, the way that it's proposed, the amount that's proposed in Senate Bill 156, this is Senator Negron's initiative, and then its companion, House Bill 61. The Revenue Estimating Conference says that that's going to cost about $237 million per year in terms of lost vehicle registration fees. And President Gates has said a number of times in public that, in his view, that's the way that we ought to be doing any tax relief this year, is putting it in the hands of the citizens and the voters, a broad-based tax cut. And so, yes, that's the $237 million cut per year in registration fees.
Rick, let's talk a little bit about job cuts. The governor's budget proposes to cut the state workforce by just 57 jobs. That's the fewest amount he has proposed since he's been in office. And then there is a report out from Challenger Gray and Christmas, which talks about job cuts for February.
Right. And of course, those are two very different concepts, really. It's certainly no secret that Governor Scott is a small government, reduce the size of government governor. And so in an election year, though, 2014, one certainly doesn't want to do things which could jeopardize some of the votes that he's counting on in his reelection bid. So I'm not surprised to see that it's the smallest reduction in the size of state government since he's been in office. But then if we move to the bigger job picture, that the Challenger Gray and Christmas report, which comes out every month, John Challenger, the principal there at the firm, says that the job cuts in February were less than 42,000. And so that's a lot lower. That's 24% lower than the job cuts in February a year ago. But, you know, having said that, we still face substantial challenges in the job market. Businesses may be laying off fewer people than before, as evidenced by the Challenger report, but we're not yet seeing the kind of hiring that we need to see to get the economy back on a firm footing so that people can take advantage of economic opportunity, buy houses, buy cars, and get us back really on a more firm footing. So it's good news, but we still face challenges in the job market.
And I guess that would be your same sentiment in terms of talking about the number of people seeking unemployment benefits, which dropped to 323,000. I guess that's a 26,000 drop for last week.
That's entirely consistent with the Challenger report. Again, both initial jobless claims and the Challenger layoff report are measures of how many people are losing their jobs. But we also got the ADP report, which comes out on the Wednesday before job report Friday. And of course, as you and I tape this segment on Thursday, we're getting the federal jobs numbers for February tomorrow. But the ADP estimate is that the job count in February for net new private sector jobs was weak again. That would make 3 months in a row where you and I have discussed weather-related challenges, tepid job market, and sooner or later, we're going to have to stop using a weather-related slowdown in construction activity as an excuse. The job market clearly has a long way to go until it's in full recovery.
Well, Rick, we will have to hold it there. Thanks.
Thank you, Sandra.
You can hear the Economic Report Fridays. I'm Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.